Okay, I guess, Aaron, I'm ready to go with the opening scripture, Proverbs chapter 24, verses 30 through 34. And before I read this, I want to present to you a before and an after, because it's like a parable. And I have it in the easy-to-read version for that very reason. But there are other translations that are quite well, too. And I've had this since Thursday last week, just contemplating what is God going to do with this when I read it, speak it, and we meditate on the words of it, because it's always good that we do that so that we don't read something too quickly and then, well, that was for today. And, you know, this represents a period of time to snatch these verses. And this is what it says. Proverbs 24, verse 30. I walked past a field that belonged to a lazy man. It was a vineyard that belonged to someone who understood nothing. Weeds were growing everywhere. Wild vines covered the ground, and a wall around the vineyard was broken and falling down. I looked at this, and I thought about it. This is what I learned. A little sleep, a little rest, folding your arms, taking a nap. These things will make you poor very quickly. Soon you will have nothing, as if a thief broke in and took everything away. In the parable, I want to use this land first, around this building, as a manifestation of this. At one time, years ago, this land was one of the most prime pieces of land along this highway, even before this road was widened. And the state still owns some of it because it's designed to be a military highway as well, to move military equipment in time of war. And this is all connected to us because we occupy this piece of land. Well, when we came here, I've told you the beginning of what the inside looked like, but I didn't tell you what the outside looked like. From the stone wall, which was all broken down and you could hardly see it, in maybe 12 to 15 feet, it was all grown over with poison ivy, with vines, with small shrubs and brush. And Don Coons was here with me then, and he had, it looks like a weed whacker, but it's got a blade about that big around for cutting brush. And for almost a month, we cut all that stuff back and rebuilt the stone wall as much as we could lift. There's some stones out there that 10 of us couldn't lift, and therefore they're still there. But it illustrates the point of this. The property had laid here neglected, and it got all run down. But that's not the true meaning of the parable. The true meaning of the parable has to do with the parable of the sower and the seed, and I'm going to make that connection and then come back to pick up where we left off. The parable of the sower and the seed is in three of the four Gospels. John doesn't have it, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke do. But I picked the one in Mark chapter 4. Jesus told the parable, and now he's going to give the explanation of the parable. And it has to do with sowing the word. Jesus was the word. And so we're going to look at verses 14 through 20. This is, even his disciples didn't understand this parable. But this is the parable. The sower sows the word. It's like, Lorraine, you talked about no one in your family had gotten saved, but someone sowed the word in your mom and dad's heart. And every person fits in one of these four categories. These are the four heart conditions that are so important to the real meaning of this parable about not being lazy. And it doesn't mean lazy in your physical doing. It means letting ourselves get lazy spiritually and what can come upon us. So the sower sows the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard that word, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And that's really important. If you want to know why sometimes you share the word with somebody and it seems like immediately it's rejected or snatched away and it doesn't come to fruition in their lives, it's because Satan doesn't want people saved. Satan hates the gospel. And he doesn't want anyone to hear it, and let alone to believe it, and to be saved. I have a little skit in the back that I haven't done in many years, but I'm just going to do it by word today. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. This is another type of heart. And this maybe will help you as times come now that we're living in. And I believe also that the Lord is going to draw out even more people coming to Christ. We will see that too. But it's going to help us to understand and not get frustrated and not give up on people, even in your own family that aren't saved. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. And great joy and excitement comes. Wow! Just yesterday, I was like this, and now I'm like this. This is amazing. This is a miracle. I just don't know how that happened. And they're so excited and so filled with zeal. But then look what happens. And they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. A lot of times people give up before they learn much of anything. They get saved and I got my ticket, I'm good. And they never take the time to read, to study, to pray. And they just think all of this stuff is just like angel dust, magical, Tinkerbell stuff, tinkle, 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 you know. And God's going to do everything for you. Well, he isn't. And you need to understand the process. He works. He's done a work. And he's done a work in us. But there's a response on our part that he's expecting. And so immediately, because they have no root, how many times have we read scriptures like being rooted and grounded in the word? Why do you think none of those trees have ever blown down on that stone wall? And I'm telling you, you all have heard it, the wind just wailing into this building and you can hear it screaming around the corners of the building. And none of those trees fell because of wind, because they're rooted and grounded. And I don't even know where the water is under the stone wall. Maybe they're in the septic tank, I don't know. But they're growing really good. And we as believers, we need to grow really good. Our roots need to be deep in the word and in the spiritual things of the Lord. But this doesn't happen. Sometimes people don't make it that far. I've had people come to the New Believers Bible study and they come to realize, oh, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. Boom, and they're gone. And they fall away, even before their new life has hardly got started. And so they endure, but for a short time afterward. Now here's why some people give up before they really understand the prize from heaven that they've just received. When affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. Because the word brings conviction. I mean, we're used to that, you know, because we've grown in the Lord. A lot of us have grown together as a body in the Lord. But now, what about our grandkids? What about some of the children? And I know a lot of you as grandmas and grandpas really care deeply about children and grandchildren in our families. So we don't want to, just because somebody may pitch rocks through the windows, that's not the reason to pack up and leave. Now, after all that talk at the men's advance, hearing all of that, oh boy, did this really begin to fall into place, you know, the significance of these verses of Scripture, to not let our guard down, you know, keep pressing in the things of the Lord and standing strong, and don't let afflictions or troubles or persecution come against you to the point where it snuffs Christ out of your life, or snuffs the Holy Spirit in your life, or quenches him to where nobody sees it anymore. I think this is very timely. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. See, everybody heard. That's one common thing in this parable that Jesus taught, was everybody had the opportunity to hear. Now, what they did with it is their call. I rejected it for many years myself, and I thought all those people that I knew that got saved went crazy on me, and I was the crazy one. I didn't want to do what they did, and I didn't want to have what they had. But yet, the Holy Spirit got me on a golf course, and there was no person around at that time. God is desperate to save souls. And so, these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. Well, what are the thorns? And the cares of this world, listen to this very carefully, the cares of this world, that phrase is very timely right now. Getting ourselves off track and our eyes moved to be all concerned about all the stuff that's going on, the cares of this world, and taking those upon us and letting them get down on the inside of us so that they consume us and knock us off course. And that can happen to any of us. It doesn't mean it will, but it's possible. But if you keep the safeguards in place that the scriptures give us, like Andy said, it may get rough as the dickens, but you know what? We'll make it through. There's been a lot of people that walked before us that made it through all kinds of stuff. Talk to your grandparents about the years of the Great Depression that came in our country, and they made it through. So this is very timely. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Oh, it's all around us. Buy Bitcoin. Oh my gosh. When the dollar collapses, you'll have all this fortune in Bitcoin, and this cyber currency that multitudes of people are getting sucked into, that because it looks like a quick money-making scheme. And so store up all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, did you see what happened to Bitcoin last week? It took a dump down the toilet with a double flush. Boom, gone. And now all these people that got sucked into these quick, get-rich-quick schemes are finding out just who's really behind it. Don't get sucked into that. Our provision comes from the Lord, and whether we have or we don't, we need to be content because it's His provision for us, and that's who blesses us, and that's where our provision comes, not only individually, but as a church body. We must always come to this and encourage each other to take our stand. But look at what happened. And it choked out the word, and it became unfruitful. When pressures come, if this is a big if, but if that stuff gets down on the inside of us, and we can think of more news headlines and quote the stories, more numerous than we can quote the scriptures that's going to keep us in a right place, there's a problem there. And I'm going to come back to this with my comments about the scriptures from Proverbs, because if the Spirit is speaking to you already about coming back to that, I think you can probably already see where we're going to go with this, but it's a dire heart cry from the Lord. Don't let this happen, because I've given you everything. Don't blow it. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. God is the God of increase. Did you ever see any place in the scripture where God did not bring increase, His presence bring increase? It just happens as a believer. Your life, the quality of life, increases as time goes on. I know we're always concerned about the earth suit. Well, you know what? The earth suit isn't going to make it. You know? unless we're here when the Lord returns, and then we'll be changed instantly in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Paul said that we will be changed. But if we're not, the spirit man will make it. The earth suit, all it does is hold us back and hold us down. And it's filled with the afflictions of this world. But the spirit man is not. The spirit man is pure. It's the real you on the inside of the earth suit. You are the new creation that Scripture talks about. And so guard what you have. And now let's come back. What if, this is just a Rick question, but I hope it will cause you to ponder. Will it cause you to ponder about your life and say, will I be like that lazy man when I first got saved? I was so filled with zeal and the fire of the Lord, and I was a wordaholic. And I went to all of these meetings and all of these seminars, and I sat under good ministries that taught me well. Do you realize how many churches have not opened again since COVID? They have no fellowship. They hide in their houses in fear. I'm not afraid. Well, what the hell's wrong with you? Oh, if it ain't fear, what is it? I openly challenge whoever listens to this message today. Get out from under that bondage of fear. Fear came from hell. It didn't come from God. We're going to be pushed to the max. And I'm telling you, this parable in Proverbs really made me stop and reevaluate myself. Have I a beautiful vineyard? Do you know that the word says that we are the Lord's vineyard, the body of Christ, and each one of you is a beautiful vine in the Father's vineyard? But what happens if over the course of time the passion begins to wane, the fire begins to flicker, and the flame begins to diminish? Your house is going to get cold. And look at what happened. It's a lack of understanding. How many times have you read the book of Proverbs and Psalms, and one of the things that magnifies, get understanding, get wisdom, get knowledge, so that these things don't come upon you? Because they surely will if we let it happen and we let our guard down. Weeds are growing everywhere. You see, at one time this property was beautiful, and then through neglect. Now look at a person's life when we first got saved. That was when we were the most innocent and the purest, and even everything had so suddenly changed, and we realized that we were and still are that beautiful new creation. We didn't exist before. Our earth suit did, but God has given us a brand new spirit that's made in the image of Christ, and you can't change that. That is a work of the Lord in your life. But over the course of time, we can get comfortable. It's like I made the comment about Burl Cream. A little dab will do you. It'll take a whole can to get rid of mine and Tony's beards. We need a whole bunch, don't we, Tony? All right? You all got beards. You can relate to that. But a little bit of Jesus is just enough to get me through the week. And we can get slack. COVID made a lot of people slack. Well, I'll just turn on Dr. So-and-so. Oh, my God, he doesn't believe in the other rapture. Oh, turn him off. Oh, he doesn't believe in healing. Click, I'll just sit here and I'll just believe God for myself. And little by little by little by little, every tool that God has given us to our advantage has been, where is it? Are we taking advantage? Are we using it? Is the fire still burning? Is there still something there that's going to keep you in a time when everything is going to stand against you? The afflictions, the persecutions for our faith. Are you ready to take that stand? Are you ready? You see, because if we're not, this is what's going to happen. This is our outcome. And until last week, all the times I've read the book of Proverbs, I never related this to a Christian in a black, backslidden condition. We get lazy. We get slack. Oh, I don't feel like going to Bible study tonight. Fine. God will keep me. And this is not a put down. I'm just saying, if that becomes a habit in our faith, if that goes, what's going to go next? What will you compromise next? That little church in the Ukraine, they were teaching each other how to do CPR and bind up wounds and gunshot wounds because they were in a war, and the whole church went through all of these lessons to learn to minister to the hurting people all around them. There's an urgency about this. And I know for 2 years I had the word tumultuous times coming, and I spoke that to you for 2 years, and I didn't even know the implications of all of that at the time, but I just sensed it in my spirit, and it's even more so today. I just encourage you, don't be like this beautiful field and everything grew over it. It's exactly like the parable of the sower and the seed. The person got so caught up in all the cares of the world and all the woes and all the problems that you that have flower gardens, you that have veggie gardens, why do you weed the garden? Give me one good reason why you weed the garden, to separate the weeds from what you want to keep. It won't choke them out. Yeah. And take all the sunlight and all the nutrients from the soil. I found out the plants that take the least amount of water are weeds. They can grow in dry soil. And so we don't want to get dry soil in our hearts either, okay? And because it overshadows us, like it takes the sunlight away from the plants that you want to keep. And we are plants. We're the planting of the Lord in His vineyard. And this is a call to action on our part. If there's any slack among us, and we all know that personally, if there is or if there isn't, and if you're not, boy, I just praise God, because I need to tweak my attitude sometimes too. You know, I don't care how it comes. I'll tweak it if I have to, because I don't want to be in this condition. I don't want to back off. I want to press on. I want to press in. Do you know how Faith and I have battled all this? The first stories you hear on the news, 5,000 flights got canceled this morning. That's nice. We're flying tomorrow night. And then the 4th of July, oh, all these pilots are doing all this stuff. And the holidays coming, and travelers are all jammed up in the airports. I can't get home. And they're all freaking out, you know. You see, it's personal. We're affected. You think you're not? We are. I just have enough truth in me to let you know. We deal with this stuff too. But we're called to be here, to be an encourager to you, to help keep the fire burning. But if our fire is not burning too, it isn't going to ignite. And I'd come to realize that wet wood don't burn. Wet wood doesn't burn very well. We need to be attentive to this. And it'll be just like all of a sudden, the enemy will have succeeded. And this is what I learned: a little sleep, a little rest, a little fall. Oh, God's got this all under His control. No problems. Oh, this is so wonderful. I just love it. I love being a Christian. Get all the bumpy goosebumps and the feel goods and all that kind of stuff. But we let our guard down, and we need to stay focused. These things will make you poor. There is no poverty greater than spiritual poverty. I mean, you can have no money and be the richest person on the planet. And some of the richest people on the planet are going to find out that their little whoop-de-doo party is about to crash. And ours is just beginning. A little taking a nap. These things will make you poor very quickly. Spiritually, they will make us poor if we don't continue. See, I don't have a rule book of do this, do that. But all I'm just saying is there are so many pointers in the Word for each of us. Don't overlook them. Don't read so quick that you pass these treasures by. I encourage you to slow down when you read. unless you have a Bible reading plan and you have to read a chapter from the Old Testament and a chapter from the New Testament in your reading plan, because there are a lot of study plans like that. But do you have the time to be able to meditate on it if you take that much time to read a whole chapter, or two chapters really, and be able to meditate on it? I encourage you to do what the scriptures tell us to do, to meditate on the word. I'd rather take a smaller bite and meditate on that and get some understanding. I can read very quickly too, but I have a hard time. It's very difficult for me to pick up a verse of scripture and read it all the way through without stopping. You already know that. It's very difficult for me to do that, and it's a miracle when it happens, because there's so much in it. I mean, look at all the things just in this one in Proverbs to ponder and to think about. These things will, you can underline the will, the word will, and soon you will have nothing, as if a thief broke through and took everything away. Which reminds me of John 10:10. The thief comes but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I am come that you have life, and that you have it more abundantly. And I can tell you, I've been in both places, and you know what? I prefer the more abundant life that Jesus Christ has given me, and I trust that you do too. And if I never get back after the music to preach anymore today, maybe today I preached a little bit. I got out of line. Please forgive me. But I'm leaving tomorrow, so I can get away with it. I'll set a fire, and you all deal with it while we're gone. No, I just come in a spirit of encouragement today. Don't let your guard down now. We're just getting started.
Led me into one of the rooms used by the students to study the scrolls. There was no one there, but one scroll was left on a wooden platform and open to its beginning. He began reading from its text. Yomer Elohim, he or va yahi or. Now, I know I'm not pronouncing that right, it's Hebrew. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Notice what God did. In the world, we speak of that which is, but God speaks of that which is not. He spoke the light when it was not, and then it was. This is the way of God, not only with light, but with people.
Yes.
What do you mean? There was an old man whose wife was past the age of bearing children, but God gave him the name Avram, or Abraham, which in Hebrew means father of the multitudes. He gave him a name of that which was not, and then it was. Abraham would become the father of nations. His name was a prophecy. And then there was a man who was rejected by his family, falsely accused and thrown into prison. But God had caused him at birth to be given the name Yosef. And Yosef means he shall increase. And so he would increase even to become the ruler of Egypt. Joseph, I said. And then there was a man who lived in fear of his enemies. But God had caused his name to be Gidon. The name means he who strikes down, he would end up a hero who, against all odds, would strike down the enemies of Israel. That's Gideon. He too was given a name of that which was not, and then it was. And then there was a man of great passion, but little stability. But God had given him the name of Kepha, which means the rock. By the end of his life, That's exactly what he would become, a rock of strength. He rolled up the scroll. We see ourselves as we are, but God sees us not as we are, but as he called us to be. He gives you an identity not based on your past, but on your future, what you are to become. The secret is to receive that identity and believe it before you see it. Live it as if it is. So your name is no longer rejected, but beloved. No longer weak, but mighty. No longer defeated, but victorious. He has given you a name of that which is not. Receive that which is not, and it will be. Live by your prophecy name. It is as simple as this: let there be light. What is your prophecy name? Live by it today. Start with what the Word declares you to be: beloved, royal, holy, and victorious. Amen. And one little footnote about Gideon was a fearful man. And look at how many times he asked God to confirm what God wanted him to do. Mm-hmm. And he did mighty things for the Lord, but he was a fearful man. So if you think you're weak, if you think you're fearful, if you think you're incapable, if you think you don't know enough, if you haven't studied enough, if you're not good enough, if you fail God too much, should I go on? You're exactly where God wants you to be, and every experience you go through will cause you to grow closer to Him and be stronger in Him and to be powerful in Him. So take up that cross God has given you and go forward and be victorious.